The leading with love.
Love.
Empathy.
Empathy.
Action.
Action.
And Humanities Podcast.
Okay. Hello and welcome to the Leading with Love, Empathy, and Action podcast. My name is Jessica. Sharon, my beautiful producer, is here with me acting as co-host today. Okay. You are beautiful, sir. And we are very lucky to have Elizabeth Henderson here joining us.
Hendo.
However, it is Hendo. Like, we talked about her name, and Elizabeth does
Hendo
not fit.
For show.
And Liz does not fit. It is Hendo. So
for show.
She's going to be known as Hendo. And we're going to have two parts of this episode, which I have never done before. But this episode is kind of heavy. So we're going to start with the impact in this episode, and then we're going to go into the leadership in the next episode.
I feel like there should be like an intro, dun 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Know,
something coming in. Go
it's
for
not,
it.
It's not my soft music. It's
you want this to be your breakout? Oh, no, I'm going to let you go because I can do this breakout part. You know, I can slap everything and come in with the music right there.
I'm so lucky to have you, Sharon. So let me tell you about Hendo. It ain't even Elizabeth. It's Hendo.
Hendo, you know.
Hendo, you know. Hendo was my student in a couple of my classes, and that's how we met. And now I am lucky and fortunate and blessed enough to be on her committee because she is doing great research in all of these fields. So thank you for being here, Hendo.
Talk into the mic.
I am talking into.
You talk like this. This is not miking.
This is Mike. My producer on my show. I love it.
That's what's up.
All right, Hendo.
Good to be here.
And introduce yourself a little bit.
Thank you. So good to be here. This is super fun. So yeah, I'm doing the research and it's so meaningful when you've been inspired by something in real life and you see the need and you see the work that needs to be done. So it's a pleasure to come here. And yeah, the reason I'm here is just kind of reflecting on that and then applying it in the lens of leadership and looking at the pride flag from this incident and how it was weaponized against a very vulnerable community of students. And then again, how the leadership layer on top of that responded and how we can bring love and empathy action, kind of revisiting this. I think there's a lot of great lessons to be learned here.
So I think there are
too. Good stuff.
And I love your intro in that it fits perfectly into my first question. So Hendo and I love this name, by the way, Hendo. We have worked together a long time and I got a phone call one random day after I was no longer her teacher.
Nope. Made those famous last words of like, call me if you ever need anything. I'm here to support you. Ring, ring, hello.
As every professor has ever said, and this girl actually did. And the story she had to tell me was, it should have been mind-blowing, but it wasn't. Because...
Speak.
I am. It shouldn't have been mind-blowing... I mean, it should have been mind-blowing, but it wasn't. So tell us a little bit about why you called me that day, Miss Hendo. Hendo.
We had a... She can't even handle it. You can't even handle the Hendo.
I can't even handle the Hendo.
I know. It's going to be hysterical when it's like Dr. Hendo.
Oh, that's going to be beautiful.
I'm just going to lose all credibility.
Like when you come
right
back
there.
In the room after your dissertation is defended and be like, Dr. Hendo, you're going to just crumble.
Oh, we can't take ourselves too seriously up here. We just can't. Okay, so the pride flag was removed from a classroom. And I'm going to try to synchronize this story up chronologically, but it was removed
from
the classroom.
We're just going to listen, so you do your thing.
From the GSA. The student attempted to burn it and then took it to a boys' locker room and urinated on it, left it in the urinal, and videotaped it. This is the pride flag. And that's what I was going to get to. It was like, not just any flag here. Like, this kid had choices. Could have been the American flag. Could have been the California state flag. But they chose the pride flag. And it was hooked onto a portable wooden flagpole. Like, they had to premeditate this. Think about it. And at the end of first period, as the kids are, like, lining up to get out the door, he had a friend kind of cover for him while he took it out. And we know nylon doesn't burn. apparently he didn't. You know?
That's science, Hendo.
Science. Nothing like leaving your science classroom realizing, like, you failed on multiple counts. The kid videotapes this. It gets posted to a Snapchat, and that was witnessed by the coach for our boys lacrosse team, which is not a school-sponsored team. It's a club. But the kicker here is that they were heading to a national championship in under 2 weeks. And he left it in the locker room in the urinal all day, like I said. There was one anonymous report that came in through our, you know, see something, say something system. But it was the custodian who found it at 4 o'clock that day. And that alone kind of like makes my hairs on the back of my neck stand up, because that means how many kids, how many periods went through that locker room. And it was just being desecrated like that entire time. Nobody said anything. So there's a little leadership that's missing there. The custodian finds it. This happened on a Wednesday. Spring break was coming up. We had 2 days to go. And those 2 weeks go by during spring break, and there's no mention of this. And I found out the following day, when we had a long-term sub in that classroom, absolute angel, walked on water, and the person Jupe's covering for, I promised, teacher bestie promised, that I'm going to watch out for your class, I'm going to take care of your long-term sub, I'm going to look out for your kids, and I'm going to take care of the GSA club on our campus. I'm going to make sure they're looked after. When this happened, my heart just broke. I felt like I'd failed. Honestly, I was like, oh, dang. And that's when I made the choice. Like, I need to stand up and get involved. I'm going to involve myself and support that substitute, because she felt absolutely destroyed.
As one would.
Yeah. I mean, she just took it all on herself. How could I let this happen? Super upset. And I was too. And it was just one of those things where we needed each other to get through this. And that was a beautiful moment when you had a community of teachers who are willing to support each other. And it was one of those things I don't think I ever saw coming. didn't anticipate when I made that promise this would happen, but it was go time. So 2 weeks go by. The district, no official statements, very strange. I'm like, oh, you know what? There's probably an investigation. Upon the students' return that Monday, no reentry plan, no restorative practice. First period, kids just back in class. Looked on the attendance. The teacher of record, which was the long-term sub, wasn't briefed. There was no note of like the ed code violation. Like, it looked like he just took an early spring break and came back, which, you know, is not uncommon. Like, kids take off, you know, a little bit before. And so immediately I had questions. And the first question in my hand was like, well, are they still under investigation? Like, why are they back? Look at attendance code, nothing there. So the thing that really raised questions was, what are we going to do to protect the 4 out queer students in that classroom that identify as LGBTQ+, and that created an unsafe environment. It's a hostile learning environment, no doubt. And the onus now of leadership was now on the staff, taking it upon themselves to work, to get involved, communicate to the administration. This was just not acceptable, and we had to propose a resolution and demand action. The good news was I was teaching the same class, the same period. I could take this kid and at least get him out of that classroom environment, because this is on Snapchat. It's been out for 2 weeks. Everybody knows. And the creepy part is nobody was saying anything about it.
Is that creepy or is that normal?
Both.
Both.
Both. I think it should be disturbing. It should be upsetting us. You should have that, like, the shoe's going to drop. Yeah. But in education now with social media, everything's going to get out way ahead of your administration. School administration's slow to respond. I mean, it's once it's on Snapchat, you're done. I mean, and you're really just doing your best to play catch up at that point. But still, 2 weeks go by, nothing. Now, if a student's under investigation, okay, they can't legally, you know, divulge right. anything. That's understandable. What's not understandable is you got to have a plan. You got to work with your teachers. You have to make sure that you're protecting the students in that class. So the GSA members were deeply impacted, obviously. And
that was my next question. Like, how did your GSA members feel when not only they saw this heinous act on Snapchat or God forbid they walk in the restroom where the flag was there until 4 p.m. What was the impact on your students in your classroom, in your real time, in their lives, when they clearly saw their school leadership not reacting?
Oh my gosh, they just felt unsupported. And I hate to say this, but this is not their first hate incident that many of them have experienced. And it's tragic, but what they're looking for is like knowing that these things happen and will continue to happen. Where are the adults in the room? Where are the people who are supposed to be protecting them and educating them and making sure that they have a safe place to live and learn and just be themselves? And when you look up and you look around and it's radio silence, that deafening radio silence had a very profound impact.
That radio silence sends a message. That radio silence has a voice, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a loud, deafening voice to our students who are not being protected.
Yeah. And so, you know, unfortunately, I think they came to their trusted mentors on campus. It's unfortunate that we have kids now. They know who has their back. And it's good. I'm counted as one of them. I take that seriously. So they knew that, you know, and even though as staff, you know, we're not going to divulge, you know, a case under investigation, and we're not going to, you know, we have to serve all students, both the person who did this terrible, heinous act.
And we're going to talk about that too.
And we got to talk about them. And I have to serve those who were impacted by those actions and who are suffering in this hateful environment. So it is one of the situations, but they know. And kids know. And I think as administrators and adults, we have to give them some credit for, you know, sometimes even being way ahead of us and knowing what's right and what should be happening. And when that kid, I took him over to my classroom. He sat in my,
this is
like,
this is the offender or
the offender.
I hate to use that word because I don't like using penal code words, but this is the kid that used bad judgment in a very wrong way. And I love that you're going to go into this. So talk a little bit about that. Talk a little bit about your conversation with the student that made these decisions. A very young person who, like, how, a sophomore?
15,
yeah.
Yeah, 15, 16. Like, and like I said, we had the same class at the same time of day. Wouldn't miss a beat. So academically, we were able to, or the assistant principal working the case was able to say, okay. But it was good in the sense that you had a long-term sub situation, and then you had a supporting teacher who we could just bring this student over where they could be closely supervised. They could get the support that they needed, and we could, above all, make a more safe learning environment for the students in that other classroom. And, you know, it's not a perfect solution by any means. I mean, there's all of that, all of the rest of the day. Like, this, I can do what I can do with a kid in these four walls first period, but
I still go home.
But there's the rest of the day. There's the walks through the halls. There's the bathroom. There's the lunch line. There's all of these other areas, where I'm very well aware of. There's still, like, hateful actions happening, which doesn't feel great to me. But at the same time, I did feel like I was able to give the student a chance to kind of reset and come and hold them accountable as best as I could at my level. Now, a classroom teacher, still leadership. You can still do what you can do in your four walls. But I think building that relationship with that student, really figuring out, like, who's behind this, That was really eye-opening.
You know, I'm going to bring up something that's not in our papers right now. I banged on the wall. Sharon's probably like, dang it, don't bang on the table. But I remember one conversation that we had when I was still your teacher and you were still a student in my class. And you emailed me or texted me. I don't remember what it was, but you're like, tell me how you think big. Cause that was my big thing, right? Like, we got to think big. We have to think outside our normal systems. That being said, I saw you do that here. Do you know how you thought big here? Do you know how you went outside the walls of our normal system and thought big as a leader?
That's a really good point. It was actually a comment you left on my paper. I'll never forget it. Dr. Miller is like, pulls no punches while grading. It is not a gift. It is
totally a gift.
I know. You're totally playing. But yeah, on my paper, she's like, because I often feel frustrated, you know, when you're like in a hierarchical system.
We're so big, and where do we fit in, and what are we doing?
Yeah. And there's definitely some pressure when you're in a very formal hierarchical organization, like stay in your lane, stay in your room. This is your job. This is not your job. And like, where do I get that leadership? As a classroom teacher, when we see something that's outside of our four walls. So yeah, that was the big thing, was to start recruiting allies to bring attention to issues that have been missed. So working as a team, I think getting outside of your box, making sure that you're looking for who in the system can support you, and then where you see issues, like partnering with those people to then move the ball forward, like just a little bit. I'm not saying like any one person can solve these problems alone.
These are big problems that we're not going to fix in one fell swoop, for sure.
No, and they exist because of the system. And I think coming to this with the system's perspective, that's part of the big thinking. And you have to look a little bit like, who can help you like make those changes? Who can address it? In this case, it was a long game. This took 10 weeks, I think, from start to end.
But Hendo, you saw outside your walls and you thought big in this scenario. And that was amazing, because look what's come since. Like, we're still in the midst of the happening. But I think one thing I really want to pay attention to here is we don't have to always stay in our lane, right? We don't always have to stay in our lane. We have people. And staying in our lane, I think, is sometimes the same as staying silent. So I'm so proud of you for not, because you could have here. You could have. You could have stayed in your lane. You could have stayed silent, and you didn't. And no, then, you did not.
No, I did not. And, you know, that's definitely, I mean, one, it's not in my nature, but two, I don't think it's part of what we do as educators. I think at the heart of it, it is as much about educating and working with the adults as it is with the kids. And I think that it's wonderful when you get that synergy and you get those people together and they get to see who you really are authentically. You know, if you just stay in your silo and you stay in your lane, there's so many missed opportunities for building those relationships and building the infrastructure that it takes to start making systemic change.
And you did that. You did that. You went straight on up. And this is probably going to be a leadership episode next time. But you went straight on up. You went straight on up like you should, because you saw the impact on your students. You saw what was happening, not only with your GSA, not only with the pain and everything they had to go through, but you're also looking at, and I think this is where maybe the general public doesn't maybe understand teachers as much. We deal with all kids. And I really appreciate that you took the time to talk to and build a relationship with the offender in this case.
Yeah. And if I can go back to that, that was something that was so important to me, because there's a dynamic. And even though this substitute was, like I said, walked on water, like would learn physics would learn the lesson, ask questions, study it, practice the problem
actually
sets.
Actually wanted to teach.
Do it, yeah. Deliver. I mean, it was so impressive to me. And classroom management, it was just doing their absolute very bestest. But there is that culture where if you're not the, you know, original teacher, you don't own them. You're not mine. You can't tell me what to do. And by pulling that kid into that, my side of the dividing wall, I'm like, you're mine now. And I own you now. I own you. And they sat in the front. I already had seating charts, and we do a lot of culture building in my class where there's teams, and it's to bring in a new person halfway through a semester with, I think we have maybe 8 weeks left max. And there was that. So I had to get to know them. They had to get to know me. But I requested that. And I went with a colleague when the students showed up and they came over and they're like, they're back in class. And I was like, what? that was unexpected. So then checking attendance records didn't show anything at all. So usually there's a mark.
Let's talk about this. This is a great segue into our next question. Let's talk about what the offender student went through, what leadership did, what your view of all of this was, what was right, what was wrong, and how your GSA members still felt through all of this.
I think the first leadership, so once the custodian notified the principal. So background, just to put this in context. Leadership was in turmoil because the day before, our principal had been removed. Mm-hmm. We have an interim principal.
Who's brand new?
Brand new. Not brand new to administration, but brand new in this role. Like mm-hmm. literally 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, this goes down when you're 24 hours into your job. And we also had brand new assistant principal. Mm-hmm. And so...
Who's an amazing human, by the way. I've gotten to know him. I love
fabulous.
Him.
Don't you? I knew you would. And that's why
I hope he listens. I'm going to send this episode to him because he's wrong.
And yeah, this was a wonderful, when I said, you know, you get the opportunity to build relationships that build infrastructure to affect change. That's exactly what I mean, because we have two new administrators, and unfortunately, in the context of the greater chaos of the system, I think sometimes things get dropped. And we had identified new principal who's got a ton on his plate. He does a cursory investigation, as one does, goes, talks to the teacher, says, hey, what have you seen? Both that teacher and I had assumed, because that was the day the GSA was meeting, that they had the flag. We didn't think anything of it. They were meeting in another classroom, must have taken it. Sure. And then when we found out what had happened, talked to the long-term sub, who then comes to me and then was just sort of like, oh my goodness. So that was the case after the, you know, initial questions were asked and we figured out what had happened, pieced it together, was then passed off to a brand new assistant principal who had been on the job for 3 months. Also, and if you work in a school, you know the secretary is who
the
really
secretary
holds it together.
Is queen
secretary
or king,
complete.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah, without them, we cannot do our job. Literally, they had... The secretary had also taken an early retirement, left. New secretary.
Wait, I didn't know this part. Oh.
This is why y'all bring your secretaries every gift card the kids bring you. It just, yes. We go to the secretary because...
She's the gatekeeper.
Not only that, but that institutional knowledge mm-hmm. that is held for how to document, how to do the attendance codes, how to make sure everything is lined up as it should be in our system. And with a new secretary and a new assistant principal, the assistant principal was used to the old secretary handling everything. And then you have someone who doesn't.
Lesson one.
Yes, you will do. You will be overly reliant on your secretary.
100%.
But when you get a new secretary, heaven help you. The secretary is lovely. No shade. Like the assistant principal, just it was a system that was no longer in place. And so that's why we didn't see the attendance codes. We didn't see the notes in assertive discipline, which is there's like the discipline that the administrators get to see and the ones that the teachers get to see. So no codes, nothing was entered. But that was an opportunity for a conversation because I grabbed my teacher bestie.
Ally. We all love a teacher bestie.
All love a teacher bestie on the other side of the campus.
Teacher bestie. Shout out Lisa Virgo. You're the one.
For real. And so, yeah, in these times where you're like, you never go into the administration office by yourself. Lesson number two. Especially when you got a hot potato case like this. And I needed answers. And so we were like, first off, where have they been? This kid was just dropped back in. What's the background? What's the story? Two, where's the attendance code? Three, they need to be moved now. But you also don't go to your administrator without a plan.
No, you got to have solutions. Yeah.
You got to have solutions. So with those issues, you're like, look, I'll take them. Bring them over. I'll make sure grades transfer, which I did. Like there was no fresh start. All of a sudden you have an A. It was, everything was documented. I had all the assignments. And so it was smooth for the student as well because being picked up mid-semester is tough. And then we had, once we had talked to the principal, who we totally swooped another person's meeting, by the way. Sorry, whoever that was after us. I'm sorry. It was really urgent. And you were late. So lesson number three, don't be late or I will swoop your meeting. And then
the Marine in me loves all of that. 15 minutes early is late.
Yeah, because you know I'll be lurking.
Because we will swoop that meeting.
I will swoop it. If you're a principal and your door is open, you best beware.
I'm walking in.
If it's not open and you have a pending meeting,
I'm a knock.
that's what's up. So, and the assistant principal, because you know they don't eat all day. They
no,
go out.
No, I spent enough years as a principal to know that principals do not eat.
They don't eat. And so it's a poor person. And then the assistant principal's like, well, I pass it off to them. Well, I need to get so-and-so to handle this. And we approve the plan, said, give it to my AP. They'll arrange it. Cool. AP was out to lunch. 45 minutes later.
Wait, did you just tell me the AP took a 45-minute lunch?
This is off hours. He didn't take lunch. He had to go get lunch after school.
Oh, well, that's better.
Yeah, I mean.
I guess people need to eat.
we'll allow it. But and then this is the most wonderful part about working with this assistant principal who I just have so much respect for because as a leader, they're a learner and being new on the job, so humble, really open to listening and having that moment and the humility to just say, hey, it got dropped. I dropped the ball in the attendance code or I'm going to make it right and go back and fix things. But that new leader is always learning. And in this case, when you got a hot potato handed to you, I felt that was an interesting choice. Why would you give it to the new guy? It's almost some type of initiation.
It's terrible. I have opinions on that. I think, I'm not supposed to do this. But they give it to the new guy for a reason. Our job is political, Hendo. As you don't know, when you give it to the new guy, it washes your hands of what you need to do to really address the cultural and the systemic issues within all of this. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened.
And it's plausible deniability. I got to be honest, like, you know what? We've all been here, seen that, and you know what's coming. And you don't want to be anywhere near it. But to the credit of this new assistant principal, stepped up
who
to the plate.
Who I know and is pretty it. Fucking amazing, actually.
Didn't blink.
We got to put it on explicit.
Didn't bat.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
And owned it from the day one and really genuinely like cared and expressed that caring through the empathetic listening, through the, you know, actionable steps. And I said, you know, I can't own this issue alone. And I have this connection with these students in our GSA who I love and care for. And they need to hear it from you. They need to hear it from leadership and administration. They don't need to hear third person telling of what happened and how it happened and what you're going to do about it. They need to know that the leadership has their back and that you see them and you care about them and that you're working for them. That's just so important to me. So that was my big thing. It's like first get the kid over.
And I know this because we talked about this, but what did your leadership do in that realm? Did they talk to your kids? Did they bring them in? Like, what was the next move there?
So the next move was to get them to meet with the GSA. I wanted the principal and the administrator.
And the GSA officer or the whole club.
Whole club.
Okay. Even better.
Oh, yeah. It was a whole club session. Now, our club meetings, I mean, it's not like we have mandatory attendance. It's just an open door, come as you are, welcome. And so that I want to say like that after I'm like, hey, we're having a meeting. It'd be really great if you need to get down there and did you need come? To come see. Yes. Showed up on the dot. And I was so impressed. And he rolled in, didn't even bat an eye. He said, I'm going to try to be there. Now, I've heard this before. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to be there is like, I'll think about it.
At best. And no.
You know, I'm an optimist. You know, I'm an optimist. But comes down, met with the kids firsthand, and then brought the principal as well. And the principal couldn't stay for the whole meeting.
And the principal.
AP brought the principal
okay.
down. And just so that they had two admin in the room. And again, as a new principal, you need to be out front and you need to.
100, yeah.
You need to get out there. And that was my big plea. It was like, I am not going to be your spokesperson. They need to hear it from you. And that would mean a lot to them. Mm-hmm. And I also want to make sure that your message as an administrator isn't a game of telephone. Like what you want to say needs to be said the way you want it said.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
What your GSA members needed to say to admin, they needed to say to admin. Like they need and deserve to feel welcome in their school. So what is their leader doing for that?
Yeah. And they had very specific requests. I was so proud of these kids. They were very much organized in their requests and their messaging, and it was 100% valid and to the law. They just wanted a clear explanation. And then, like I said earlier, these kids, this is not the first time they've seen hate. This is not the first time they've experienced violence. This is not something that is news to them. They want to know what you're going to do about
it
in the future.
But it's new to their leaders. And that's very sad, but very true. And your kids were so brave in what they did and just stood up and said, this is enough. This is enough.
That's part of our club, though, is advocacy. And to provide advocacy and education and allyship to our queer community on campus. And like you said, it goes both ways. Education for leadership is just as important as it is for the student body. And it was really wonderful to say they heard from the horse's mouth, as it were, like what happened. As much as admin felt comfortable, they could share, because there are obviously legal things that we can't disclose. But that it didn't stop there because they weren't satisfied. And so when they weren't satisfied with the answers, they asked for things like, look, we need a clear and present support that is visible, that is public. We want a letter of condemnation that acknowledges that this hate is going on, that calls it like it is and says, this is not who we are. We're not going to accept this.
This is not what we're doing right here, right now.
Mm-hmm. this is not the kind of culture that we're going to stand by and look the other way. And that, I think, is a perfectly reasonable request. We see this modeled in other institutions and schools. Like, something goes down, your first job as an administrator is to get out there, have a statement ready, make sure that you are in control of that messaging, make sure that you are responding in a timely manner, that they see you caring and responding and getting out in front of it. So they asked for the letter. They asked for actions taken on the campus to protect, like to have a administrator, for example, standing by a certain lunch table, nonchalantly. But that's the lunch table where a lot of our GSA students gather for lunch informally. But make sure that you have an admin within eyesight, kind of just there as a presence, you know, to make sure that nothing's going unseen or unheard.
So I have to ask at this point, that is a very raw request. Like, that request is very much like, this is where we gather. I need your help. I need you to be here for me. You told me you're here for me. Talk to me a little bit about, were they there? And how did the members of your GSA, and honestly, I hate saying that because it's not only members of the GSA, but were their requests granted? Were they feeling more safe?
And that's the short answer to it, because it took so long. I know it's not the answer I was hoping for either.
I don't want it either. And I just looked, and you know, it's so funny what Liz just responded to was me looking at Sharon and being like, ugh, like we still have so much more to do. And even with this situation and students and teachers begging for what is needed, it's still not happening. Why?
I think
that's a hard question.
It's a big question, but I think the answer is persistence.
I agree.
And I think nothing takes the place of persistence, because I was up in this administrator and I, when I said relationship building, it was really just me every lunch going to find them.
That's how relationships are built. Food, lunch.
Like, I know you're out in the wild on supervision duty. I will find you. And lucky
you were my favorite kind of teacher when I was a principal, by the way.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, because yeah, it's easy to find this administrator. It was great because yeah, I'm not very tall, but he is.
You are not very tall. You're very bird-like.
he's easy to spot in a crowd. So just go on over. And again, with the listening, I'd ask for updates very directly. Where are you on this? What's happening? Why haven't I heard anything yet? Why isn't there a statement yet? Because again, this happens 2 days, spring break, 2 weeks. Week one, you met with them, you promised. Yeah. Week two, I'm still up in your lunch business going, hey,
none of these promises have been met.
So where are we with that? Well, there was always someone else higher up. There was always I've drafted the letter. But again, coming back to, I drafted the letter. It has to get approved. And you
does it though?
It does.
It does. And that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is it does.
Every event, anything that's written, any communication. And communication is really at the heart of this, because trust is everything. And you build trust with communication. In the absence of communication, you have the absence of trust.
Well, wasn't it Winston Churchill that said the difference between management and leadership is communication?
Indeed.
Like, we can run this shit all day long. We want to lead it. We have to know how to communicate.
And that goes back to, do you stay in your box?
Do you stay in your lane?
Do you stay in your lane? Or do you get out there and you start talking to people? And I think that's where the leadership starts, is with those conversations between me and the teacher that I need to support, between me and another teacher who I know can help me as, you know, a witness when we go into the principal's office.
And you know what? I think it comes down to, like, what is enough? Like, when do we stop protecting ourselves as leaders? And when do we really lead for our people? Whether it be our students, our parents, our teachers. But I think one of the things that stood out to me in your story is that balance. Not even that balance. I don't even think it's a balance. I think it's the idea of, what are you going to choose to do right now? Because right now, you are about to show me the kind of leader you are. And what are you going to show me? Because all of us are just as important as you as a leader. And I don't feel that from you right now. So show me what you're going to do. Show me, don't tell me. Right? And I think this comes down to, you were just saying, like, people were coming, people were listening, but there was still nothing.
It's action.
Yeah.
And I think listening, yes, very important part of leadership. Mm-hmm. Absolutely essential.
100. We have to listen.
For communication. Sure. Also, totally essential. Mm-hmm. It's the action. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so missing in this scenario. And if it was action, and is that action in alignment with your values and your goals? Are you walking the walk that you're talking? And I think that's where the kids saw, I saw, a lot of people saw, there was a disconnect.
And why do you think that is?
Oh, it's always easier said than done.
Ah.
Always.
Always.
And you know, I think in the moment when you put somebody on the spot, they're going to give you their genuine, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to like help you. But can I? And do I have systems of oppression that are around me that are not only oppressing you, but they're also oppressing me? And there are some serious considerations because we have conflicting mandates here as administrators, especially as an assistant principal, where like the term administrator, to administer, is management. Yeah. That is, if you go Google it, like yeah. management's Google the first word that comes. It doesn't, you don't put administrator in there like Winston Churchill. No.
That is a manager.
It's a manager.
And how do we move from management to leadership?
Risk.
Risk.
You have to be willing to take the risk and you have to then commit to seeing that risk through. I see it in three parts. First, you need risk. Then you need commitment. And finally, you need to have
resolve.
The resolve and the, but you have to incentivize it. And I think we have every incentive running counter.
Oh, girl.
To the, and that's that last piece where we have somebody.
Boy, I love me some Hendo.
We got it. And I think this is almost the serendipitous part about giving the hot potato to the new administrator.
That's exactly why they did it.
Because that new administrator is willing to take risks that everybody else has been too jaded to take before. Because
they've been shut down before.
They've been shut down. Heck, they've been fired.
They've been, oh, girl, let's be real. I've been there.
Like, and when you're in an environment and you're watching, I mean, you look up.
Where is the balance between your own personal growth, wealth, family, and the good of humanity? Like, that's a hard step to take.
And I think it's going to be different for different people.
It 100% will.
And I just...
But I think that the cruelness of putting this entire case on a brand new administrator, leader, whatever we're going to call him, who's never had this jaded experience before, was cowardly.
It was cowardly, but honestly, looking back, I don't think you could have made a better choice. Because had you picked,
and I know him, and yeah. You're probably not wrong.
It was one of those calculated moves that just backfired. Yeah. And I'm so happy because he had my back, and he took the risk, and he had the commitment to stick with it.
And he still does, by the way.
And to stick with me coming to visit every lunch. I'm like, that's annoying. Let's be honest.
It's annoying. You can come here every lunch.
But it seemed like it was a triple threat. I mean, not only was it the principal was new, the assistant principal was new, the secretary was new. I mean, it was a triple threat.
Yeah, that's true too.
And let's keep in mind, they're all new because somebody else was fired before them and they watched
it. And they knew that.
And this is not happening in isolation. Like, I'm always like hinting at this larger system, that context that this is happening in. It's not an accident because the month prior, March, our wellness center put out a newsletter that just got a ton of blowback because it was about how to support.
Are we going here right now?
Oh, maybe for another episode.
Nope, go here right now. I think this is good to go here right now.
This is, it's all context.
It's
for like,
go here. I think I know where you're going and this is important.
Yeah. It's that larger system where we've got, again, you're product of your environment. And when you are seeing that go down, because this newsletter was how to support your child that is LGBTQ plus, and it had lots of resources and outside resources.
By the way,
good. Oh, nice to hear. Yeah. It was really well done. Our wellness center. It props was to
really
them.
Well done. Yeah,
they do a great job, and they're wonderful. Again, as I was reaching out,
and they
out,
really do want support for all people, regardless of how you identify, or you are human with me. And if you are human with me, I am going to support you. 100%. Was the entirety of that message.
It really was good. And it was so positive and it was so affirming because they're really trying to reach both, not only students, but also their parents and their caregivers. And I think that was wonderful, but it got a lot of pushback.
It sure did.
And it was unfortunate because I think those resources and that message needs to be supported and amplified. We know the stats and how impacted our queer community and our students are. And then to have this event come on the heels of that communication and that leadership that was coming out of our wellness center, now we have a disconnect that impacted how this rolled out because I need to get support for this student. I need to get support for my students who are impacted. And they didn't know. They weren't notified. So the breakdown in communication and also the breakdown in leadership, since the two are hand in hand, this is
absolutely
problematic.
Connected, yeah.
They're absolutely connected. So management in a hierarchical organization is going to keep people siloed. They're going to be stay in your lane, stay in your silo. No one will hear your cry. When you have the first thing I did was get out of my classroom. I had to physically just walk over to the wellness center, grab whomever I could find. Thank you, by the way, for answering the door.
They are listening.
I'm on my lunch break. I'm on my lunch break and I'm coming for you. And so they give me 20 minutes.
I'm laughing because I understand school culture and this is legit.
It's legit. You Hendo got 20
was
minutes.
Fucking power walking over there, y'all.
It's a large campus. Got my steps in. I wear flats. Come over anytime. I love visitors. If you don't come to me, I will come to you.
I will come to Hendo does though.
I will. But I went over to the wellness center. I was like, look, this is the student I've got just transferred into my class. I've talked with him. I'm seeing red flags. We had a BTAM training literally months before, and this kid meets criteria. They need help. And the breakdown in the documentation from the student side, wellness wasn't...
Audible sigh.
It wasn't getting across. The counseling wasn't looped in. Wellness center wasn't looped in. We've got kids in crisis on both sides of the event everywhere. And so as I'm seeing this, all the red flags, we've got the perpetrator, I'm going to say. I know it's terrible language. I apologize.
I know what I was too, but I think it's probably...
He perpetrated
a hate crime. And we still understand that there's humanity in there, but at the end of the day, they perpetrated a horrendous hate crime and got no punishment for it.
No. And a 2-day suspension, which was later changed and reflected. But
I didn't know this part.
2 days before spring break, basically an extended spring break.
I knew they had the 2 days before spring break.
That was it.
Nothing was ever done about that. That was where it stood on there.
But why before spring break? Why not? You come back, go back, you suspend it for...
I feel like the thought is while you have a student who's suspended and out, they've been removed so that you can maybe conduct some investigation, ask some questions, immediately provide a safe learning environment for those in that classroom. Like I said, there were 4,000 students there.
Still a suspension on a self-serving prophecy rather than teaching this student any kind of humanity.
Basically, it had no remedial training.
Well, yeah, pull them out of my class so I can do the investigation, so I can make... And I appreciate the safe learning environment. I get all of that, but...
Then what?
Then what?
And that was the big then what. And that was where, when they come back, no announcement. And typically for a particularly horrible event, you would have a reentry plan of some kind. You would certainly get the team together with the counselor, with the wellness staff, with the teacher.
That never happened?
Never happened. And so put them back.
Did he just show up back in your classroom?
That's not my classroom, the former classroom. I had to go and request the student to be moved to my class.
Oh.
Sorry, still in a class with people that
the original class.
Victimized.
Yes. Put right back in. No rhyme, no reason, no explanation, just right back.
And sweep, rug, broom.
That's all you need. Just kidding. Totally not all you need. You should
totally
have...
Totally not all you need, but...
That's what we had. And recognizing that, that's when you need to get out of your classroom and you need to start asking questions. You need to start going up the chain.
Up.
And those words lead up resonated with me. this whole time, I was like, man, teachers, if you're grading papers, your comments matter.
Comments matter.
They do. And you never know. As I know as a teacher, I will never fully understand the impact of, you know, my comment on a paper, like, to a student until years later. And so
wait. I'm going to say right now, thank you to you, because I know my comments mattered, because that text that led to all of this, like, we got a lot of work to do. Got a lot of work to do, and your comments matter for sure.
They matter, and I think our actions matter as well. And so having that voice of Miller in the back of my head saying, lead up, get out. Like, I was like, I can't stop here.
Think big.
Think big, keep going, and keep going, and keep going.
Because let's talk about that for a moment. Like, our next, this is a two-part, y'all, this is my first two-parter. My first two-parter with Hendo. Sharon is shaking his head. He is not happy with me. But my first two-parter with Hendo, talking about how leadership matters in this. Like, this whole time we've been talking very much about your relationship and the relationship you've been able to cultivate with the offender, the guy that did this, and with your GSA that felt impacted by this. We've talked very much about your personal relationships with them as a teacher. I really want to start talking about the leadership that can change the systems, because leadership, when done correctly, has the capability and ability to change the systems we're seeing.
Absolutely. And that's the beautiful part about it, is that we don't need to just accept the status quo.
We do not need to accept the status quo. We don't.
You can have your sweep and your rug and your broom. and you can start, you know, making some magic with it. Because I think that's what gives me optimism. That's what keeps me in this work, is that optimism and that hope that we have the tools. We can't say we don't have the training. Certainly have that. And it's about recognizing the climate and the system that you're working in and calling it out for what it is.
And
I think you have to confront that.
And building the relationships necessary to call it out.
Absolutely.
Understanding the impact on it, having the language and the ability to do that. This is all training. This is all learnable stuff. When did we stop learning? Never. I don't think we did.
Not in this profession.
I think leaders want to know. Yeah. I think leaders are probably listening to this being like, I feel all of this. What do I do? What do I do? What can I do for teachers like Hendo, for kids like the GSA, for kids like the kid that peed on the flag? Like, what do I do? I do not, and I refuse to believe that our school leaders go to work thinking, I'm going to do a terrible job today. I just think they haven't had the training and skills to be able to do this work. And I think because in our systems, it's always systems in our country, our school leaders are taught budget and they're taught schedules and they're taught instruction, but they're not taught people. They're not taught how to connect with people to do the hard work.
Yeah. And it's really hard when you have conflicting mandates. Oh. As your heart is maybe that leadership heart that called you into that service to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then your daily grind is management.
Your daily grind is management. How do you claw your way out of that?
And when you have leadership above you. And your sandwich being crushed
and
between.
See, here's where I'm going to push back. I don't know if you have leadership above you or if you've got management above you.
I receive that. And I think it's a totally valid point. And I also think leadership starts at the top. When you're talking about organizational culture.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
That culture in which you are asking your team of leaders.
Whoever it may be.
Yeah. Whoever they are. That message starts at the top.
Mm-hmm. And are you walking that walk?
Are you walking that walk? And is it coherent? Mm-hmm. Don't say one thing and do another. With your vision, mission, values, that's great. Those become slogans.
You should be walking in your core values as a leader. And every single one of your followers should be able to point out your core values and say, this is what my leader believes. This is what my leader does. It's when it gets murky that we have situations like this whole situation we just talked about. It starts with leadership. I agree with you 100%.
Or in making sure that, yeah, everybody's on the same page with that leadership. Mm-hmm. So like in part two, when we get to like of this, we need to definitely look at what were the core mission, vision, values. Mm-hmm. Was it being executed in the actions that were being taken? And looking at the LEAH framework.
and really thinking about what can leaders do to make this not only loving, to say the least, but a learning time for all involved, adults and kids and parents. Yes. Like, we are in this job to make a better world.
For sure.
We're going to stop right there and go into part two. Please be back for part two. Thank you.
This has been Leading with Love, Empathy, Action, and Humanities Podcast, hosted by Dr. Jessica Miller and Alex Kirk. Production by A Serious Production. For more information, please go to
www.leahumanity.com. That's www.leahumanity.com.